Morning, everyone. It's fantastic to be able to speak to you again. Maybe a bit unfortunate that I'm speaking to you online and not in person, as I still much prefer seeing people. But it's still what a privilege that we're able to share God's Word and be able to get into God's Word. Let me just open in a word of prayer. Father, we just want to thank you for today. I thank you that you're in control, that you are love, that you are mercy, and that you haven't designated that any of us do this alone, that you've designated we do this as a body. Thank you that you've given us the means that we can actually connect together even now. And we put all of this into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. When our children were small, we went to an amusement park in South Africa. And they loved the roller coasters and those sort of things. We discovered actually that my wife also loved those things. But at the time, she actually, I think, stayed off it. And I went on to a thing called an octopus with the children. That spun around and around and around. It made me feel very ill. And then we went on to a roller coaster. But at this stage, I'm not feeling very well. I'm actually realizing that I'm feeling quite sick. The children are loving it. So we get on the roller coaster, and of course, it goes around the course. It does a loop and then done a spiral, and then it comes back to the beginning. And as we got to the beginning again, I was breathing a sigh of relief. Here we were coming back to the start, and I'd be free of this. And the roller coaster went past the start and went on the journey, and we went around the course again. And I just remember that sense of dread. Oh no, I'm going to have to go through this all again. My children, of course, thought it was great. But isn't that how some of us are feeling right now? It's like we've been through this roller coaster and we've come back to our destination, and yet here we are going around it again. And some of us are sort of thinking, how do we know God's will during this? What are we meant to do? Because there's a lot of talk about what Christians should be doing and how we should be rising up or that we need to be obeying. And there's a whole lot of discussion as to what do Christians do now? How do we know God's will for us in this season? And so I want to actually examine that today and actually have a look at God's will during the corona lockdown. And maybe a bit differently to how you'd expect to be looked at, but let's go. Jeanette and I are going through the book of Kings. Very fascinating book at the moment. And in Kings, there's a story of an old prophet. Let me just read it to you. It's from 1 Kings 13, verses 11 to 19. It says, "Now an old prophet lived in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told to their father the words that he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, 'Which way did he go?' And his sons showed the way that the man of God had gone, who came up from Judah, had gone." So this man of God had come up, he had given a message to the king, and now he's heading back. And he had told the king, "I've got to go home. God has told me I mustn't stay." And he said to his sons, the prophet said to his sons, "Saddle a donkey for me." And so they saddled a donkey for him, and he mounted it. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, "Are you the man of God who came from Judah?" And he said, "I am." And then he said to him, "Come home with me and eat bread." And he said, "I may not return with you or go in with you. Neither should I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. It was said to me by the word of the Lord, 'You shall neither eat bread nor drink water there, but return by the way you have come.' And he said to him, 'I also am a prophet, as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back into my house, that he may eat bread and drink water.' And he lied to him. So he went back to him and ate bread in his house and drank water." And the story goes on from there, that he actually goes back with the guy, does this, and then the man, this prophet, gets a vision from God, a word from God, to say, "You've disobeyed me." And so he leaves in a hurry, and he's killed by a lion. And the lion doesn't even kill his donkey, just kills him. And then the donkey and the lion both stay by the body. And eventually the prophet goes and picks him up and brings him home and realizes that the man's words were true. But aren't we often like that prophet? We're worried that we're going to get a word from God and that someone's going to talk us out of it, or we're going to miss what it's all about because of the circumstances. Now, we'll come back to that story maybe later, but what I'd like to do now is just to go into the way some of us try and seek the will of God. Years ago, you know, we didn't have a lot of choices. I come from a family of bricklayers. My great-grandparents were bricklayers. Right up to my grandparents were all bricklayers. They were bricklayers right through the Second World War, builders and bricklayers and that. And normally what actually happened, the father would then pass it on to the son, and the son would become a bricklayer. So my granddad was a bricklayer. His firstborn became a bricklayer. My dad was the secondborn. And my dad didn't actually fit into that mold. He was more of an academic person. And so he found himself going and actually moving into a different field. He actually ended up in accounts. At the time, It really upset the family. This was like he was going against all of the norms it had, because there weren't choices. You became a bricklayer. If you came from a bricklaying family, that's what you did. But he actually broke that. But he was actually at the start. It was after the Second World War. It was in the 50s. And this was now the start of a new era where people started having more choice. And of course, children after him have got even more choice. And we've got come to the point now where there's so many choices. I mean, there's got to the ridiculous point in life where we're even saying to our children years later, you can even decide what sex you want to be, even though we know physically that's impossible, unless you're actually going to do something dramatic, which goes against all nature. But we're actually trying to give people masses of choices, and that's the world we live in. And of course, we get this choice problem. We go to the supermarket. I know when we first came to the UK and we went to buy our groceries, we just had a problem looking at the choice of bread. Now in Zimbabwe, you get bread. Here, you've got a choice of every type of bread that you can actually desire. And we ended up with this thing that we don't know what to choose. And you're scared that you're going to choose something and then discover that you made the wrong choice. And so what we end up doing is we end up trying to find ways to not have to make those choices. We want to find ways to get around those choices. So we want someone else to make that choice for us, so that we don't have to have the problem of making a wrong choice. And so that's where in the world a lot of people end up going to fortune tellers or to mediums. That's so they can actually get some word from beyond to tell them what choices we need to make today. Do you know that the Bible's actually adamant that you mustn't do that? In Deuteronomy 18 verse 14 it says, "For these nations which you are about to dispossess, listen to fortune tellers and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this." God doesn't want us to go to fortune tellers and diviners. God actually wants us to be mature, to make choices of our own, but to make good choices guided and directed by God. And so as Christians, we're free to make choices, but what we find is that we still are longing for someone to make this choice for us. So what do we do about the world? Because when we look at through the Word of God, you see that there are times when God does direct people. He said to Abraham, "You are to leave your nation and go." He says to Noah, "Build an ark." He said to Moses, "Go back to the city, get the Israelites and bring them out into the wilderness." He says to Joshua, "Lead the people into the promised land." He says to David, "You are going to be king." So there are times when God does direct things that we're actually doing, and we don't want to miss those times. The one thing I do know is, though, as we will see, is that God is quite clear when he does that. But I want to have a look at, because a lot of the time we're now saying in the coronavirus, how do we know what the will of God is in this? And what are we meant to be doing whilst we're in lockdown? And I want to look at three things, because it's a huge topic. But I just want to look at three things that we need to do during this period and look at that concern the will of God. The first is God's obvious will. The second is God's mature will. And the third is God's specific will. Now that might sound a bit strange, but hopefully you'll follow as I go along. So let's look at firstly, during this time, a lot of times we're looking for the will of God, but you know that there are a lot of things that the Bible's clear about. I remember there was a pastor once that came to us and he says, there are quite a few things in the Bible that I read and I don't understand. I look at them and I get confused at. So he says, but there's a lot more in the Bible that's crystal clear. And I find that I'm often struggling a lot with the crystal clear things, more than the things I don't understand. But there are a lot of things the Bible is absolutely clear on. And those, it's easy to know the will of God. I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. A church that Paul set up within a couple of weeks, and he's now writing back to sort of advise them. And a lot of 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians has to do with their view on the return of Christ and how they need to be living in this day and age now. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, from verse 1, it says, "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from immorality, that each one of you knows how to control your own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things. As we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you." Did you notice a couple of those verses there? In verse 3, it says, for this is the will of God. So you want to know what God's will is? This is the will of God. Your sanctification. That you abstain from sexual immorality. And if you go down to verse 7, it actually says, for God has not called us for impurity, but for holiness. You know that God's will is that we reflect Christ. That we live a life that reflects Christ in all that we're doing. That is the obvious will of God in all that we do. And often the one that, as I say, that we struggle with the most. Because God wants you to live a life reflecting Jesus in everything that you do. No matter what it is, no matter where you find yourself, reflecting the life of Jesus. Now, what does that mean? That actually means that when it comes to relationships, God wants you to be faithful. God wants you to not have sex outside of marriage. Sex is only for a man and a wife. And only in the boundaries of marriage. And so we're not to have relationships elsewhere. So if you're feeling sort of, is it the will of God that I go out with this person or that I move in with this person? That's not the will of God. It's clear. God wants you to stay sexually pure. God wants us to work hard and to be honest, hardworking people. So do you feel like you should stop working and not do anything? Well, that is not the will of God. God actually calls us and gives us 6 days to work and one day to rest. But work is part of what he wants us to do. He wants us to pay our taxes. That is clear. Jesus went into that saying, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. God wants us to be tax-paying individuals. We are supporting society in what it's doing. We are to be model citizens supporting the government. I'm looking at what's happening in America right now with the election and the fact that they're going to end up with a government that only has half the nation supporting it. What does the other half do? Because you want to know that there are strong Christians in the Republican Party. There are strong Christians in the Democrat Party. And what is God calling them to do? God isn't calling them to change parties. God's calling them to be faithful whoever wins the election. To be faithful to that government, to obey that government in the Lord. And that's an obvious thing for Christians to do. That God is also calling on us to pay our tithes and offerings. God wants us to be generous. God calls us not to be stingy people, but to be generous people, willing to give and help those in need, but to pay our tithes and offerings, return our tithes and offerings to God. God wants us not to be self-centered, but other-centered, looking out for others. Those are things that is God's obvious will. And it's very easy if someone comes in and is doing something that's going against that, then we know that is wrong. That is not the will of God because it's not lining up with his word. Secondly, God's mature will. Now this is just a carry on really from the first one, but if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul is writing to the Ephesians about the fact that Christ has given gifts to the church. And what are these gifts he's given? And in verse 11, chapter 4 verse 11, it says, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried around by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. God has actually given us things like pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers. But he's given them to us not to control us, not to tell us all our decisions, but to equip us for maturity, to equip us to actually grow, to equip us for the work of ministry, to equip us for the work that we're doing. And a lot of us sort of feel that we need to be like children, sort of being directed. But think of your children. Think of when your children are growing up. When they're little, you do direct them. You tell them what to do. You tell them when to go to bed. You tell them when to get up. You give them strict instructions. But what is your goal? Your goal is always for them to attain maturity where they can start making those decisions for themselves wisely. Where they can cross a road and they don't look left and right just because mom and dad told them. They look left and right because they know it's the wise and right thing to do. Where they you know that they're eventually going to choose to go into jobs and careers which will be made with wise decisions. We actually want to give them the tools to equip them to do that. And that's what God is doing with the church. He's given us things in the church to equip us to go forward in making decisions in all that we're doing. Now, there's a difference between a church and a Christian cult. as a lot of you know, I used to belong to a Christian cult. Now, in a Christian cult, what they actually do is the leader of the cult will actually control and hold all the people in the church and not allow them to make any decisions. So every time they want to make a decision, they've got to go and not just get perspective from the pastors, but get permission from the pastors for what they're going to do. And unfortunately, that even goes down to the smallest decision they want to make. And I know when I went into the cult, I actually took my wife along, who was never part of the cult. But she struggled with the fact that when we wanted to make a decision on something, like buying a car, or like we moved from Harare to Bulawayo. I got a job offer in Bulawayo, and I was trying to decide whether to take it. I actually first had to get permission from the pastor before I actually even did anything. And she realized that if the pastor had even said, hinted at saying no, I wouldn't have gone. That would have been, I would have just dropped everything and left. And not that that's totally wrong, but what it means is that I'm not making the decisions. I'm not growing in maturity. I'm actually getting to a point. Now, obviously, I'm not saying here that as Christians, we shouldn't obey our leaders. We must obey our leaders. As a matter of fact, the Bible, one of the things that's in the obvious will of God is for us to obey our leaders and to make their leadership a joy. That is part of the goal of what we're wanting to do. Is we want to help them in leading. But obviously, we also want to mature as Christians in making decisions. And we need to go, so we need to seek perspective, but we need to realize that God is calling us to go do these things. For example, in that thing, you've got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. What are they training us to do as members? They're training us to apostle. That is to go out, to be sent from God, to go out and plant churches, to go out and take the gospel, to go out and preach others, to go out and be Christ in the nation. They're helping us, the prophets are helping us to be prophetic, to actually give words to our neighbors, to give words in church, to give words to each other, where we're actually hearing God, not for ourselves, but for someone else. To be evangelists, to seek those that are lost, to evangelize, to go out on the streets and actually present Christ to people. To be pastors, to care for the needy, to actually care for those who are in trouble, to help build up and equip others in growing in Christ. And to be teachers, to help people to be grounded in the Word. It's not just for the leaders to do that. They're actually helping us as members to do all of those things as well. So those are the two obvious things to the God's obvious will and God's mature will. But what about, and you're saying that's great, but what about His specific will? The fact that He does call people for specific things. How do we know we haven't missed that? And how do we know if we, when we make these decisions, that it's going to be the right decision? Well, Jeanette and I, of course, we got a specific will from God, or call from God, to move from Zimbabwe to the UK. Now, we actually prayed about it, and let me tell you, we went and got perspective, and we went and spoke to people in the church, we went and spoke to trusted friends in the church as well, we went and spoke to the leaders, we went and spoke to, as a church, we make ourselves accountable to the NCMI team, we went and spoke to members of the team, before we actually sort of committed ourselves to this, to get perspective from them on this. And let me tell you, we've got a variety of perspective. But their perspective counted. We actually would take that perspective in and actually weigh it up before we actually did anything and went forward. But what we've got to be careful of is often we instead of seeking perspective, what we're actually seeking is an escape. One of the things people often do is they say, well, why don't you do what Gideon did, where he put out a fleece to, you know, and then you put out a fleece and then you say, well, God, if this is going to happen, here's the fleece. If that happens, then that is your will. The sad thing is, if you go to the story of Gideon, you'll discover that when Gideon put out the fleece, he knew what the will of God was. He was not seeking the will of God in it. He was actually seeking a way to get around the will of God. God had come to him with an angel and told him what he was meant to do. And Gideon went, oh, I'm not sure about this. Tell you what, let me put this fleece out. And if everything's wet and the fleece is dry, then I'll know it's okay. And then when that happened, he went, oh, I don't know about this. Let me put the fleece out again. And if the fleece is wet and everything else is dry, then I know it's God's will. So he was actually trying to get around God's will. But you want to know something? What I also see in the story of Gideon is how gracious God is. God still gave him the work of the fleece. And when you're making decisions and you've got the specific will of God, if you've heard what God has told you to do, you need to know that you've heard it. Because when you go out, one of the things that we often look for in a fleece as well, we're looking for it to be easy. We're looking for God to open doors. And we think, well, if there's an open door, that means it's God's will. Do you know, when God called people to do things, often the doors look very closed. The doors look very shut, sort of tight in where they were going. But God actually gave them the call, and they had to be prepared to do it, even with the doors looking like they were. It's not, when you're given the call from God, it's not going to be easy. And the more specific the call, the harder the walk is going to be. And you need more and more to hold on to that that word from God that you've been given. And as you do it, of course, a lot of people are wanting to jump to the specific will of God and ignore the first two, the obvious and the mature will of God. And I just want to say to you that before you can actually start following the specific will of God, know that you need to be putting those other things into practice. But what about us during lockdown? What are we called to do now? I mean, it's so hard to be able to go out and do all these things. And we would love to hear God to say, God on the streets when we're told to stay in the house. You know, how are we supposed to go forward? And I want to tell you that there are three things, just to end as I conclude, there are three things that you are called to do, and they're specific calls for us in the church. And we need to be following those and doing those, even in lockdown. Those three things are, one, love God, get close to Him in prayer, and seek His presence through reading His Word, and practice the presence of God every day. We need to be seeking, getting closer to God. And what a beautiful time to do this. If you're in lockdown, or if you've got a lot of time when you're on your own, to seek God's presence in prayer and through His Word. Secondly, do you know that we are to love our family? And when I say our family, I'm talking about our physical family, and our spiritual family. A spiritual family are those people who are part of the church with you. And your physical family, of course, are your brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts. We need to be loving both our physical and our spiritual family. And you know that in lockdown, this is a time you can do this. Now, maybe you can't do it in person, but there are many other ways you can actually contact. You can do it by SMS, by writing, by phone, by Zoom. And it's in your power to do it. Encourage and try and keep in contact with your own, with people that you are connected with, your own personal family and your spiritual family. The third thing we're called to do is to love people and see their need for Jesus and want to see the light of Jesus come into their lives and to find ways to help the community come closer to Jesus, to actually see that. So we need to be actually taking the gospel out to others. Now, how do we do that? That's quite difficult. So that maybe will be limited on, but you know that God will actually bring people into your sphere that you can actually connect with. Obviously doing it safely, because you don't want to put anyone in danger or in any sort of form of difficult position, but God will actually provide you with means for doing that if you're praying for it, if you're actually asking God for those. And those are three things that we are called to do, to love God, love our family, and love others. Even during lockdown. And you know, you can be praying for nations, praying for people in other cities. Prayer is a powerful weapon that I think we don't use as often as we should. So this lockdown has not caught God by surprise. In fact, it will work into His plan. He has a will for each one of us to follow. And we need to follow that, follow His obvious will. Know that the things that God has told us in His Word that are obvious and clear, that we stick to. And before we do anything else, let's make sure we're actually obeying God. Follow His mature will in allowing yourself to a point where you can actually know right from wrong because of you've made decisions based on it before, and you're growing more like Christ. And follow His specific will in actually loving God, loving your family and your neighbors, and loving others and going forward. And know that God loves you and He knows you and He has grace for you. You know, He will actually help you. His goal isn't to give you things to trip you up, like that man, that the prophet we saw at the beginning. He got tripped up, but he knew what God's will was, and he allowed someone else to come in and take it away. If you've actually heard God's will, you must hold on to that when you're going forward. God knows your strengths, He knows your weaknesses, and He wants you to go forward as an ambassador of Christ wherever you are. This lockdown is an opportunity for us to go and be Jesus in the community. Can we just close and pray? Father, I just want to thank You for all that You have done. I thank You that You are the one in control. I thank You that it's Your will that we seek, Lord. In the Lord's Prayer, You actually teach us to pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we just pray for Your will to be done in our lives. I pray for Your will to be done in our life as we surrender our life to You, as we actually come to You and ask You to guide and direct all that we're doing. I ask for Your will to be done in our life as we hear Your call and we actually are attentive to Your direction in what You are calling us to do. And help us to mature in Christ, that we as a body can start to grow. And at this time, in this nation, that we can actually start reflecting, being Your ambassadors in all that we do. And I commit us all into Your hands right now and just pray that You come through in strength and power in all things going ahead. And we just commit this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's the message for this week. I pray that you can take it and that you go out and start being ambassadors for Christ this week. We're now going to go across to Bibi, who is going to give us the announcements for the week.